Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Got a lot to talk about in sports. Excited to have our next guest on. Valerie Cleary, Portland State's athletic director, is joining us. Where are you right now? Are you in the office? Are you at home? Where's Valerie Cleary working these days?
I am still at home in Roy, Oregon, or Banks proper, whatever you want to call it. Just sitting alone out in my little mom suite back here. So, yeah, still working this way. I have my whole office set up out here, and but probably we'll be going into the office tomorrow when it's quiet to go pick up a few things. Check on the building.
Do you have a tractor?
I don't have a tractor. I do have a John Deere riding lawnmower that does have attachments.
I love it.
But I'm only on an acre, so I don't quite. If I had one more acre, I would want a tractor.
I have, I planted corn this year in the, you know, and we don't have that big acre like you have, but I planted like 20 seeds. They all came up. I've got these 6 foot tall corn stalks like right next to the driveway. My neighbors think I'm nuts. What do you have out on the farm there?
See, I think I'm smarter than you are. I don't try to grow anything because I know that I take that back. We do have two tomato plants right now. There are some blueberries that have been here since bought the place. There's an Asian pear tree and two apple trees. The only person, in quotes, that eats any of it is the dog. He loves the Asian pears. He'll go out, grab one off the tree. He's happy as can be. But other than that, I put a note out on my social media when they're ripe, and I get a stack of bags from the local grocery store, and I just tell people to come take what they want because I just get to stare at it and look at it. Between you and Coach Barnum, you could have yourself a little farm. You know, he has like thousands of onions that he planted in week one of COVID. So
we'll
you guys get a little farmer's stand.
Put on our overalls and get out there and work the crops.
I'd like to see it.
What are you guys going to do here? Oregon State and Arizona, they cancel their games with you. Is it like, how do you find out you've been canceled? Does it come out in the media? Does somebody call you?
You know, we were tracking it in the media, but, you know, Scott was great. And so was Dave Hickey down at Arizona. You know, they both called ahead of time to say, hey, look, this is going to be announced here in the next, you know, afternoon. You know, we'll start working through the details next week. So we're in that phase of working through it, but you know, we knew it was coming. We anticipated that it was going to be coming. But in this day and age, you know, things can change like the wind. So, until you see it on your, you know, official Twitter headline or whatever, you wait till that moment, but they were gracious and reached out prior to just so I could brace myself for the public inquiries, I guess, on the games.
Now that the games are canceled, is there a possibility? Now, I know there's a lot of possibilities, but it is one of the possibilities, if everything goes back to the spring, could they call you back up and say, hey, we're going to honor that after all? Or is off mean it's off and now you got to move in another direction?
You know, that's the question we're all trying to answer right now. I think when we're looking at what's going on nationally with football, with different conferences already either deciding to go conference only or completely cancel and try to make a plan for the spring. The spring in itself is a big hypothetical possibility. No one really knows what that would look like, whether that happens on an FBS level or even at the FCS level. No one really knows yet. Could it be a reduced schedule where it's conference only? Could it be a reduced schedule where it's conference only and maybe one non-conference game to give, you know, opportunities for people like us to go out and try to have at least one guarantee game to help with the financial impact of it all? No one really knows. We're as you said, there's a lot of possibilities. We're all operating in hypotheticals right now, and and just really trying to line up what those could look like so we are prepared to move forward as we get closer with more information. It could work that way. We just don't know yet, but nothing has been definitively planned that way.
We had Tom Wistersill, the commissioner of the Big Sky, on earlier this week. He sort of talked about the frustration of not even being allowed to see if you could meet the criteria. Did you get the impression the cancellation was more about, hey, they can't test like we do, or more about, we just need more time, let's push the game back? Or is it unhealthy to speculate what their idea was?
You know, I think it's so unhealthy to even speculate right now. I think all of us, the benefit of the doubt needs to be that we're all trying to do the best we can to make decisions to keep our staff and our student athletes as safe as possible. Every day that goes by that we're keeping them safe is a benefit. So do I think some of that is buying time? Of course. Do I think some of it's just the reality of, you know, at that time, we were all still waiting still for what the NCAA guidelines were going to be. And again, they're just guidelines. They're not mandatory that they've put out for us to try to reach some level of consistency across the membership. And it's not any doubt that the FBS schools have more resources to meet some of those thresholds. And there could have been a question mark of whether some of the FCS or smaller programs will be able to meet those testing thresholds. Did that weigh into their decision? Possibly. I don't know. But I think time is always a benefit to us. The longer that we can wait, then the more information we have. But I don't know, you know, and I think that for all of us, like I said, we're all just trying to make the best decisions possible. So by the Pac-12 deciding to go non-conference only, that buys them at least 3 weeks, you know, to get some more protocols in place and to find out where they are on their campuses or their cities to welcome student athletes back to campus.
At Portland State, Valerie Cleary is the athletic director. She's with us now. Big Sky says that end of the month, they're going to tentatively, they'll make a decision on what to do. What's your position? What should be done?
You know, it's a tough one. I think because Portland, we are an outlier, you know, in our conference. I would say ourselves, our California counterparts, and then probably Eastern Washington up there in Cheney, Washington. You know, the reality that I have to face is that here in Portland, we're still in phase one. And I believe our counterparts in Montana are in phase four. It's a totally different world out there, you know. And, you know, so each one of us is in different places of what we can do with our student athletes. So as a conference, we're trying to reach some common ground of, you know, competitive, you know, equity across the board of when we're going to be able to start competitions. You know, we've all looked at start dates for, you know, welcoming student athletes back on campus. But the truth be told is that each one of us is in such a different place that even with those dates, either someone's going to be held at a disadvantage or you're going to allow time for someone like us to catch up to where they are. So as we stand right now, do I want to get to the point where we could get our student athletes back on campus and out on a field or a court to start practicing, like truly practicing? Of course. We're a lot further away, though, than all of our other schools. So our presidents are going to have a tough decision on their hands, and whether or not they reach that decision next week or not, to figure out as a conference which direction do we want to proceed in, knowing where we all are as individual institutions.
Nobody wants to see college football canceled. I also wonder, like, you know, when I'm making plans, there just comes a point where, hey, we're trying to get together with this family. They've got soccer going on. We got volleyball going on. Oh, it's just not going to work out. We kind of throw our hands up. Is there a scenario in which, you know, it becomes more beneficial for everybody just to go, hey, let's punt. 2021 is on the horizon, and let's do it right there. I think if money weren't involved, that would be a more legitimate scenario, wouldn't it?
Oh, I agree. And again, it goes back to our dates. I mean, every day right now is so powerful of where we each stand, you know, with, you know, we all of us get our Twitter updates about, you know, where we are as a state or where our competitors are in their state and who's able to do what. And I really think what's going to really guide us in the ultimate decision is the calendar. And we're going to get to a point where we're getting into where we need to be having our students on campus to fully get ready for a season. And if we're not there, then that naturally will start pushing back dates where ultimately the pressure will be to make a decision on what the fall season will look like. That's what I think will happen. I mean, that's kind of how we've been going with our decision making is, you know, I don't want our student athletes to return, leave home and return to Portland if we're not going to be able to do anything with them. You know, right now we have a group of local student athletes, and I know you and Coach Barnum had talked about this. We have about 40 or so student athletes that are from this area or had already been here throughout the summer that we're allowing to come onto campus to do workouts. They went through testing. Luckily, every test that we have done right now has come back as a negative test. So we've been able to get them in the gym working out. Our coaches, Coach Fabian, Coach Packer, who are strength and conditioning coaches, have done an amazing job with setting up that protocol to do what we are able to do in the safest manner possible. Our sports medicine team and our partnership with OHSU has been critical in that. But it comes to a point where that's all we can do with them. You know, we only can right now as a group of eight, working out 6 feet apart, wearing masks, you know, doing all those things, that we need to be able to advance to the next spot where we have a ball in their hands and they're actually able to practice the game that they're going to be competing in a matter of weeks. And if we can't get to that point, we're putting their safety at risk, and we definitely don't want to do that.
Valerie Cleary is with us, Portland State's AD. In major college football, it's gift giving, it's revenue from media rights, conference revenue. How does that differ for a Big Sky program when you talk about revenue?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think we talked about it right at the beginning. You know, for us, about 10% of our overall budget comes from guarantee games. As we've talked about before, you know, those two guarantee games there with Oregon State and Arizona were about $950,000 of our operating budget. And so that is a significant hit. You know, then we look at, you know, whether it's our, you know, state budget and how that's going to pan out with the state of Oregon. But overall, I think it's caused us to kind of look at our funding model as an FCS overall of how does that work where we could put ourselves in a better position each institution. Because, you know, our ticket sales are kind of where they are. You know, in our league, Montana and Montana State have a larger regional draw than most of our schools in our conference. So a lot of that is from kind of those guarantee games or what support you're getting from your institution. And, of course, our generous donors, you know, definitely helped to make sure that we could maintain our student-athlete scholarships and operations throughout the year. So we definitely are looking at all those funding sources, but it is very different because, I mean, much like I think our counterparts at the Pac-12 are really focusing on those games being played because of, you know, butts in the seats and also their TV deals, the same thing goes for us as, you know, looking at how we're going to continue to engage with donors and looking at, you know, whether it's our donors relationship or where we sit as a state budget. That's what's going to be critical for us.
I asked Coach Barnum yesterday about the stadium. I know that's an ongoing issue. Does that become impossible to talk about when all this other stuff's going on? Because it's going to require some big gifts.
Right. It makes it harder. And I think just as we all know, everyone has been impacted in some way financially over these past 4 months. And I think it's going to take us some time to recover. But I do also think it's going to help us hone in on what is important as an institution and within our department and even, you know, truthfully in our city. And I think when I was listening in, and I think it was on your call with our commissioner, of just how valuable having a stadium in the city of Portland in addition to what we have at Providence Park would be for the city as a whole. And I do think there is still that opportunity there. And I know we went down that line a little bit with a potential partnership with Lincoln, but I definitely think it's still there as a city. And looking at ways that we can partner with people is not too far off of that radar. But it's looking at getting creative and seeing, you know, whether it's exploring what's going to happen with Hillsboro or if something could happen with the city of Portland. I do think it's still very important for our department, our football program, soccer program, but also the university.
Could you put a stadium on that acre? Neighbors would hate you.
You know, there's plenty of open acres out here that I'm sure if people wanted to make the drive out here, there's a lot of corn out here. We got lots of rows of corn right now. So I'm sure we could find a spot out this direction if people wanted to make the trek to the Banks area out in Roy. We'd be glad to have you out here.
I did. Yeah, everybody does weird things when a pandemic hits. And my wife and I made this list of things we needed at the store. And I look back and I read it now and I laugh. But I was planning corn and beets and all these things like there would be no food left. That's what I was planning for.
Well, you know, right now I wish I had a soda stream because my little Dr. Pepper habit is coming to a screeching halt because apparently there's some CO2 shortage, I guess, something of that happening. So it's a hot commodity. So if people want to start, you know, hunting for Diet Dr. Pepper, I keep saying if that goes away, that might be my tipping point in my sanity amongst all of this, if that goes away.
You do a terrific job, Valerie. I love that you're at Portland State. They better hang on to you with two hands, because I could see Power Five universities who are now facing the normal challenges that a lot of, you know, Big Sky and other, you know, smaller athletic departments face around the country, looking and going, okay, let's bring people in who know what this is like, because you deal with that on a daily basis. And in some ways, I feel like, you know, Big Sky ADs are probably more equipped to deal with here's another speed bump.
Yeah, if there's definitely a strong suit that this AD group has, it's figuring out creative ways to do more with less. And, you know, the joke early on when schools were facing their own individual budget crises, you know, they would say, you know, we're going to have to pull back on charter flights. And I had to tell my football program that they're just going to have to bus. And I go, well, we've been doing that for a few years already.
Yeah.
So if you need help with some contracts or, you know, stops along the way, Coach Barnum has his routes really well laid out that we integrate some good cultural activities into it. But, you know, I do think that it does take a lot of creativity and really just the focus on that student athlete experience to do more with less while not sacrificing what the experience of our students are. And that is very difficult to do when you don't have, you know, unlimited food service and all those other kind of things. You need to find a way that your student athletes feel supported and valued and given a good, not only athletic experience, but academic experience as well while they're on campus. And our coaches and our staff are experts at that.
Valerie Cleary, thank you. Great stuff as always.
Well, thank you. It's great to connect with you. And I look forward to having some fresh corn on the cob out here in Roy.
Send it your way.
Comes to harvest.
Send it your way. I'll have more than I can eat. All right. Thank you, Val. There she is, Portland State's athletic director. Good stuff. PSU, you better hang on to her. She's good. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Judah Newby, the pride of McMinnville High School. I'm looking now at some statistics from your high school baseball career.
That can't be good. Actually, I wasn't half bad. I really wasn't.
It's okay. Pretty good. It's better than I thought I was going to be. You hit 308, man. That's respectable.
It's respectable, yeah. I was the two-hole or the eight-hole pretty much every game. Could handle the bat. Every once in a while got DH'd for. But look, I was good with my glove. I had quick hands, could turn it. I was second baseman, could turn it pretty easy. And, man, I should stop reminiscing while I'm ahead.
A longtime listener of the show pulled up those stats and sent them to me. Said, hey, check out Judah Newby. He's very respectable as a hitter. So way to go.
Hey, thanks, man. Scott Brocious spent a lot of time in McMinnville. That's his hometown. So I kind of rubbed off on the Grizzlies down there. Great venue, great ballpark, a new one that they got down there. So proud to be there.
If people went back and said, if you asked your high school classmates, what was Judah Newby known for? What do they remember of him? What would they say?
Oh, man. I attended a private school in Newburgh, but played for the public school in McMinnville. So they would pick me up in Newburgh on the way to road games at Tigard and Tualatin and Forest Grove and all this stuff. So they remembered Noobs as the kid that they had to pick up in downtown Newburgh on the way to road games that could also handle the bat. That's pretty much it.
Alabama Adriana, we asked your high school classmates what you were about. What would they say?
I threw some pretty good parties. Not gonna lie, senior year.
Yeah.
There were small get-togethers with my closest friends, but
yeah, that's great. I don't know what they'd say about me.
Gilroy,
quiet guy, quiet kid. You know,
boy,
kept to himself.
How things have changed.
kept to himself. I was telling my wife the other day. I had a girlfriend in high school that. I got a Letterman's jacket, everyone's got. And at first day I got it, she asked to borrow it. She wore that Letterman's jacket every damn day. She poured her perfume all over it. By the time I got it back, when we were broken up a year later, 6 months later, it was just drenched in perfume. And I never got to wear it. Never got to wear that jacket. I have it in the closet today. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.